If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Hopefully today the technical issues are over. I've been missing the show for many days now, unfortunately. Internet problems. The technician came today, but he didn't have to fix anything. We changed the modem position, but I think it boiled down to there was a central problem. There was a problem at the central level ISP, and they fixed it yesterday. So it seems like right now it should be going. Now, are there black bands above the video? Is that normal? Is that a new YouTube format, or am I streaming on the wrong frequency? I don't know. Anyways, we'll try to get going tonight, and it's good to be back on the internet. Plepides says, Jeff, what's the name of the Alberta physicist you had on your show last year, either U of A or U of C? He explained the model they use to predict temps uses a flat earth instead of a geoid. I don't remember the name of this guy. I recently saw some of his tweet. I think he's tweeting about fatherhood and father's rights. I don't remember the name of this guy. You're going to have to research it on Twitter. I know he has a Twitter. I know he talks about dads. And that's what I remember from him. I forgot his name. Sylph Wade says, question one, favorite cheese? I have so many favorite cheese. Brie Savarin, once it crumbles. In terms of bloomy cheese, very tasty brie-like cheese that has crumbled because of the aging. That is a very good Brie Savarin. I love the Valençay super well-dried goat cheese pyramids with ash. I like the Val de Léon, a blue cheese. I love the Bleu Hermite, the Bleu Elizabeth. Bleu Elizabeth being a more aged than Bleu Hermite, but the same cheese to begin with. Époisse et Berthaud in terms of stinky feet type of cheese. Manchego, of course. All of these dry sheep cheese. Excellent. All of them. Le Comté. What else? La Roquetta. Roquetta is fantastic in terms of a creamy triple cow cheap goat cheese. My God, the Roquetta, the Pieve Stravecchio. I love so many cheeses. Now I'm on a diet. I've lost 50 pounds. I'm back to the 50-pound mark because I achieved the 50-pound mark. Then I relaxed a little bit. I ate some fast food just to reward myself. Now I'm back to 50. Now we're entering new territory headed to 60. A weight loss of 60 pounds. Hopefully, I will have accomplished this in a week or two. I don't know. We'll see at which speed it goes. It slows down. It gets harder and harder to lose weight when you are on a diet. But the first 50 pounds were easy. A friend of Gandalf had sent a super chat 3 days ago, and it's very rare that I do this, but I am 3 days late on answering a super chat due to my internet issues. He said, I'm interested to hear what frying pan you've gotten the best results with when cooking the recipes in white people food. I'm buying a new pan and leaning towards stainless steel with three or more layers. In general, it's quite easy. Each pan has its function. First, the first thing I discovered is that in terms of doing caramelized burger patties. The griddle, iron cast griddle, is excellent because instead of re-caramelizing the same peaks onto the patty, it spreads the caramelizing and it changes because of the oil flow below the griddle, you know, below the patty on the griddle. So the griddle is impressive when it comes to doing burger patties. You flip every 30 seconds. 30-second flip, 30-second flip, 3-4 times until the burger is cooked. You also have to dig a dimple into the burger so that the burger becomes flat at the end, or else you're going to have a mound at the middle of the patty. Now, in general, my go-to pans are stainless steel, definitely. Stainless steel, the default for steak, for vegetables, stainless steel. But there is one legitimate use for a non-stick pan, and I love the blue shiny diamond non-stick type of surface. It is I only use it for one thing. Now, you want to treat this pan with respect. You use it with only a silicone spatula, and you use it only for eggs. Now, for eggs, that is excellent. A nonstick, lots of butter, and a spatula that is in silicone so that you never damage it. And then you never clean it with stainless steel or whatever. You only clean it with a soft sponge. Those are my uses. So I have three types of use. Stainless is the default. Absolutely great, most things. For eggs, you have the nonstick. And then for burgers, you have the cast iron griddle. Ty Rogerson says, I used to sell Cutco. They have good stainless steel cookware too, but not cheap. Yeah, stainless steel, I mean, doesn't need to be super pricey. And you talk about three layers. I don't know much about this. All I know is stainless steel in general is the right surface because you can scrub it with steel wool. So it's okay that it sticks because you scrub it after and it's easy to scrub. Stainless steel is the easiest to clean in a way, although people have the impression, oh, well, it's not nonstick, therefore it's a problem. But no, it's not nonstick, therefore you can scrub it correctly with a steel wool. That is the idea. Sliff Wave says, JF, where can I get a grilled mushroom, caramelized onion, and a Swiss cheeseburger? It's hot stuff. A repeat of a classic Richard Spencer sentence. Well, while I was gone from the internet, we have seen an absolute triggering by the ICE agent. They have triggered an absolute background revolution of females in society. You can see that we are in a political fight, and females are they've been winning for 20 to 30 years. They've been completely changing the system toward them. But their loss is coming because they're exposing themselves as unhinged, insane. You have Elon Musk now going for his own child because Ashley St. Clair is giving signs that she wants to trans the kid. Of course, she hasn't stated this, but she has suddenly, after writing a whole book about the dangers of extremist trans ideology, she suddenly is feeling guilty about her role in talking about this issue and suddenly is siding with the left. And you've seen it across the internet. Absolute insanity in the leftist base in response to the ICE shooting of Rene Good.
So about what happened in Minnesota to the people that sees that and get scared and wants to back down from ICE, because I know a lot of us have been together and we're out in the streets and we're like, but there's some of us that see that and will be scared and will want to retreat Don't do that. You cannot retreat from a bully. You can't. The only way to shut a bully down is if we all bend together and stand up, because bullies are the biggest cowards of all. So don't be scared. We know where we're going. We know that we are headed for a civil war. We know that.
We have a revolutionary force in this country formed by militant women who are at war with the application of the law. It's as simple as this.
What about Minnesota daycare, you stupid motherfucker? Tell me some fucking facts, because you don't fucking have any. You are a liar, and you are racist.
Unhinged behavior across the internet. You have it. Oh, this girl is funny too.
I have so much to say. I'm sorry for the spam today, but I am crashing out. Our vice president just got on live TV and said the ICE agent, and I quote, has absolute immunity. Those are his exact words. He said, absolute immunity. They have done no investigation whatsoever. And they called it within less than an hour, saying that they basically, that the guy was in the right without a fucking investigation.
Well, it's pretty clear. There was a car, there was a threat. Therefore, that was a state of belief. You're not. Investigations aren't going to reveal any more than this. There was a car that hit him on the hip, and we've seen even people have been digging out old examples of policemen can get swiped by the side of a car and be projected in the air. They can knock their head on the ground, knock their head on the car. There was definitely a deadly danger. Plepides says, JF, please spare us from these clips. My eyes. No, I'm not sparing you. I want you to see it. There is a female revolution in this country, and they are self-destructive. They will destroy their places of living. They have acquired local political power in various areas, which we call the liberal areas. It's all a big matriarchal society of witches that has taken over this country. They are in their localities. They give themselves jobs. They have their little beta males, their little effeminate males on the side. They sometimes give them a little job with the government, and they pay themselves, and they drain wealth, and they say, oh, I'm a single mom, please help me. This is a revolutionary force in the US, and you need to see all of it, because it's not going to last long. These people are going to lose, because they're not even sustainable. They're not even sustainable intergenerationally, because they fight against their own genetic interests by not reproducing, by complicating everyone's lives, and by ultimately pushing wealth and success away from their places of living. Genesis says, JF, what do you think of white nationalists saying we shouldn't celebrate this woman's death because she is white? I don't care about this. As far as I'm concerned, the political fight of the modern time, although we have to understand ourselves as we are white and it matters to a lot of people and it matters to us, it should matter to everyone who they are. That being said, I don't feel an obligation of loyalty to all white people for all reasons. No, there are white people who are criminals. There are white people who are problematic. There are white people who are effectively just worse for the white race than if they didn't exist. So no, personally, I've never have acknowledged or taken any arguments of racial solidarity. That's why people are always pissed when I say, if the white woman don't accept to date you, go have sex with an Asian. They're pissed off, but that's the correct answer to any rejection. That is the correct answer. If your genetic population is rejecting you, why would you self-sterilize? You have other opportunities, take them. If you neutralize the competition and you let the white woman have a monopoly on your dick, you have abandoned at life. You have abandoned the game of life. You wouldn't do this in business. Can you imagine? Oh shit, Walmart just rejected us from their shelves. I'm gonna just abandon producing my tomato cans. No. You go to the competitor and you say, we're gonna outcompete Walmart. We're gonna give people the tomato cans that they want. You have to spread this tomato paste. USPP4YM says, Jeff, for real, could he not have shot her tires? No, that is ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Like, this is literal. This was a joke. People were making that joke on social media. Now you're actually sending me a super chat and telling me, for real, you're asking this? There's no way he can shoot her tire from that close. He doesn't even have an angle of view to the tires, let alone shooting. And anyways, shooting tires will not stop a car. At least shooting a driver has a chance to stop the car. Now, granted to the leftists who have been putting this argument all weekend, yes, shooting a driver will not necessarily stop the car, but it has a chance, because when you get shot, you feel something, and it's possible that one of your reactions is to stop pressing on the accelerator. Everything is possible. When you get shot, you can make that movement or you may not. People are asking about the poutine from KFC. That is a very important subject. Kids Dad says, Jeff, I had poutine from KFC. It is called the Matty Bowl. Does it look good to you or an abomination? In Canada, we have an actual poutine from KFC that is not called the Matty Bowl. Now, let me check Matty Bowl to see if it's different. The Matty Bowl is actually a Southern American style corn and mashed potato with gravy and popcorn chicken. Now, we can't get this in Canada. In Canada, they wouldn't give you this. In Canada, you have a genuine poutine with fries, the KFC gravy, and the cheese curds. Now, the cheese curds of the KFC poutine are superb. They're just good cheese curds. The fries are not poutine fries, but I would say that the poutine as it stands in Canada at KFC is acceptable. I've seen worse. The original McDonald's poutine was worse than the current KFC poutine. The current McDonald's poutine has gotten a little better. Still, it's with julienne fries, so inappropriate in my view. We're not talking about good poutines, but the KFC poutine with popcorn chicken and the gravy is kind of, it's not a poutine because the gravy is too pale, too oily. The fries are too golden, but the popcorn chicken is good, and the poutine is good even if it doesn't respect the restaurant standards of Quebec. It's an acceptable product. Thank you so much, Jason Jones, for a $10 donation. Thank you very much. He didn't leave a message with it, but if you'd like to support the show, use the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip link. Or use the dollar button under the regular chat. The Streamlabs super chats are my favorite way to be supported for the show. Now, the Matty Bowl that you're talking about is mashed potato, so definitely not a poutine. There's corn on it, so definitely not a poutine. But they have melted cheese that is definitely not cheese curds of the poutine, and popcorn chicken. This looks good to me. I'm looking at, this looks good to me, but it's definitely not a poutine. Definitely nothing compared to a poutine at this point. This is truly a Southern American cuisine specialty, not a official poutine. Let's keep going on these liberal woman.
Oh, well, she was trying to run him over. It's self-defense. I wish she was, and I wish she did. And guess...
See, absolute thirst for blood. Ultimately, the leftists, you have to respect this. They are siding with their girl. They are literally saying out there without shame, I wish she had killed him. You can appreciate that directness, but it shows the ugly face. The ugly face of the people who are supporting Rene Good is coming out extremely clearly on the public space.
Guess what? If she did and he died, I would have celebrated because eyes aren't...
So there you go. Absolutely scandalous behavior by these nose-ringed females.
For those of you saying that she should have just complied with everything that law enforcement asked her to do and she wouldn't have been executed in the street, that's tyranny. What you're referring to is tyranny.
Well, application of the law isn't tyranny. There will have to be obstruction laws. There has to be, because, or else there's no law that ever gets applied. If you can just block, if the trick is, oh, you just park your car in front of the police and they can never do anything, then there's no law. That's another form of tyranny, when there's no law. When that's anarcho-tyranny. That's where you are the oppressor because you decide that the law will not apply to criminals. Tillman says, Jeff, if you just ignore the left-right aspect of the shooting, it was not an appropriate response to her actions. By the legal standards, yes, it was. I'm not telling you about what I think personally or feel. Ultimately, it boils down to, was there a deadly threat? In fact, it doesn't even, if you want to know the actual legal standard, it's not even was there a deadly threat. It's as follows. Was he justified in believing there was a deadly threat? That is the legal standard. And that is definitely yes. What this guy sees is a car just bumping on his hip. That's what he sees. And then maybe he has some more information. Maybe he sees her eyes. Maybe he sees her intent. But he doesn't even have to have this. There's a car intentionally bumping onto his hip and potentially continuing to roll him over, potentially swerving toward his direction. All of these are potential fair projections that he may have done of the future in the fraction of a second that he had. So don't tell me it was not justified. Because at the subjective level, I could connect with you. I could acknowledge with you, you know what? Maybe he was on an aggressive stance. Maybe he was trying to trap her into not moving. Maybe he did a chicken game with her. Maybe he decided to stay in front of the car because they had set up for we're arresting this woman and he wanted to kind of dare her. Maybe there's some of these components in. But we'll never know, and we don't have to know legally. I don't think we have to know. All we have to ask is, was there a deadly threat? Did he react to this? Now, I'm willing to engage subjectively for the purpose of hypothesis consideration. And, you know, at first I had the idea that he may have been provoking her. He may have been just stepping in front of the car just to stand there. But then eventually the video of his phone that he holds in his hand came out. And what it taught me is, well, you know what? Maybe he wasn't even playing a chicken game because he did revolve around the car twice. So I thought he was just coming in from the field of view of the first video. I thought he was coming in and just blocking the car. Now, that seems like an aggressive stand your ground. In fact, advancement of the stand your ground base. Like, I am here and you're going to have to kill me, or you're going to have to try to kill me if you want to flee. But what is an arrest? This is what you have to ask philosophically. What is an arrest? An arrest is putting someone in a circumstance where they will have to physically hurt you if they want to escape your grasp. This is why there's handcuffs. This is why police are allowed to neutralize you. And therefore, to me, as part of an arrest, I do not think that blocking a vehicle should be illegal. Now, we can also have a discussion about, is it illegal? And do the do all police agents get that training that tells them not to stand in front of cars? But all of this is left to speculation. Whether he had that training or not, whether he disobeyed that training intentionally, or he just happened to be there, all of this is loose considerations and extrapolations. As far as I'm concerned, down the line, what matters is, was there a deadly threat? And yes, there was. That reduces to this. It's as simple as this. We have another little revolutionary here. Stop defending wives of fascists. These women have brains they're using every day when they date fascists, marry fascists, reproduce with fascists, and then fuck fascists at night with their hands still lathered in the blood of the people whose lives they disregarded to get picked. So there's this whole denial of reproduction that these revolutionary women are engaged in. They think they can all get together and impose on each other a form of policing of eggs. But ladies, never, never embark on those communistification of your eggs. Your eggs don't belong to your female competitors. And by listening to these central signals on don't breed with this guy, or oh, see the hit piece about JF, you shouldn't breed with him, all you are doing is self-punishing. You are self-punishing. You are evolutionarily canceling yourself out of existence. Liberal woman says she will no longer date white men.
White American woman, I will no longer be dating white men.
I think, how can I say this politely? Let's say that the market that day didn't change much. The game for the regular white guy remained the same that day. He didn't feel any impact on the active market.
I'm looking for anything other than a white man, okay?
All right, well, we have a new style of porn that has just emerged. Granny. Granny has been blacked. Leftist agitator gets spread in the face. Yeah, there's lots of local rises of Antifa and pro-ICE people, all of them with earrings. All right. So a lot of efforts. And Trump, I have to say, you know, this whole story gives me kind of respect for Trump. I've been disappointed in the intensity with which he was deploying his programs, but you have to give it to him. He's confronting the left with an aggressive stance. And you know, he's been adding some agents in Minneapolis. I know it's not going to result in much, But you have to give it to him. He's winning a symbolic fight here against disorder, against local leftist insurrectionism. And that's good. That's good. Jason Jones has sent a super chat. Let's have a look.
Do you think the shooting will hurt Trump in the midterms in 2028?
Oh, no. No, as I was about to explain, actually, I believe that this shooting is kind of a saving grace for J.D. Vance and Trump. Because there was kind of a morass, there was a lack of enthusiasm in the base. And here we are seeing potentially what it looks like when a government decides to go at war against insurrection. And just this little peek inside this window is very interesting. And I believe it's solidifying the base more than anything else could have happened. Because Venezuela, Iran, this is all extremely divisive. Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, extremely divisive stuff on the right. In fact, I was thinking of having Nick Fuentes. Now it turns out we'll try to reschedule soon in 2026. That's the year. We're now in 2026, apparently 7 years after COVID. So I was trying to, like, if I had scheduled Nick Fuentes 1 month ago, there would have been lots of contention. When you think about all of the points on which right-wingers disagree, and they would have expected me to question him. You know, Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, conspiracies. Do we have transparent truth or do we don't? Do we let Candace say anything in terms of theories? So there's and Iran, Venezuela, extremely divisive. Like, Nick is for the Venezuela strike and the Venezuela intervention. I'm not. But when you look at the state of the right today after this shooting, extremely unified. That's because there's an enthusiasm in, are we going to deal with this problem? This problem that there are communist insurrectionists that are violent, that are willing to impede on federal legitimate work, and that are ultimately threatening the whole nation because they want to be safe harbors for illegal migrants. That is the question. And Trump is answering it in a beautiful way that is extremely... what's the word? Extremely low cost, extremely... There's a beautiful English word for this. It is minimalistic. It is... doesn't require much investment. I'm sure one of you on the chat will be able to remind me of this word. It is, you know, minimalistic. Not expedient. No, it is expedient, but it is, you know, lightweight, light investment. No, it's not frugal. Parsimonious. Parsimonious. When you think about how this event has parsimoniously unified the right, I don't know that you can be more parsimonious. Literally just a meaningless little fight between one agent and one lesbian in a car, and the right is unified behind it. It was extremely parsimonious. We have scenes of street fights in the city. I don't understand why females are staying in the city. Like, they're punching each other in the face to survive.
Chase him.
Well, there you go. There you go. You live in the city now. You get punched in the face. You know, instead of getting punched in the face, why doesn't she get a plane ticket, comes here, get inseminated, becomes a mom? She's gonna be filled with joy. But no, she wants to hang on the streets, show her big legs, to try to what? To try to get one better boyfriend in Miami? And then you have to get punched in the face to just be part of the competition. Deranged liberal woman complains about deportations.
Don't come on my page and say that people should be in this country legally. Don't do it. This is ridiculous. It's inhumane. You are a human being, and don't you dare use Jesus's name or God's name in this and say that this is what he would want and pretend to be a Christian because you're not. This is pure evil.
Well, beyond Christianity, it's about the application of the rule of law. We can't let everyone in. Your position is that we should let everyone in until there is nothing left to defend. No country, no wealth, no rights, and you're not even India at this point. You're Botswana. That's what you are.
Don't ever fucking come at me about forgiving MAGA ever again. I will not forgive. Ever. I will never forget. Ever. And your protest votes are just as fucking bad.
The frustration level, bro. This is exposing a face of America that you and I have known. If you've been watching this show, we've been seeing these earring wearing Antifa type of people. We know they exist. We know they've been there for decades. But most people, they don't live with a cognitive presence of these people. They think, oh, maybe they exist out there, but they exist out of people's lives. But this is showing them on social media. And they have difficulty controlling their anger. And you realize, okay, we're just going to have to deal with the fact that there are people who hate the entirety of the regime. They don't just hate Trump, or they hate society as a whole. They live with massive mental disorders. They are angry, uncontrollable. They fight against any form of order, and they have this mentality of resistance that is just dangerous for whoever lives around them. Richard Cooper, with a proper analysis of the female position, women don't care about the struggle. They hang out at the finish line and fuck the winners. Ah, that is an interesting, proper reading. That is the evolutionary strategy of women. Create fights among men, create war, let it happen, and then farm the winners. So the female is invested in having events of selection happening, which is why in deers, they end up pushing the male to bump each other's head until one of them dies. Literally, that is contest-building behavior in animals. And human society isn't free of it. In fact, when you look at woman politics, very much in line with this, basically squeezing the man into a contest and forcing them to bump each other's head to deserve their eggs. Plepidus says social media is like the magic mirror on the wall from Cinderella. Literally a magic mirror that feeds back what you want. Social media and its consequences have been a disaster for mankind. I don't know that I agree with this. Personally, as a man who lives on social media, I love social media. I think it has put people together in a way that you couldn't have had in the regular system. Like, you wouldn't be here talking to a human being, being able to exchange and get legitimate, transparent answers to your questions if we still were on cable TV. People often discount the goods of social media. And personally, I think the goods have been overwhelming. Society has changed a lot in my lifetime thanks to social media. And I was on social media since 1994. Now, it's like No, X didn't exist. I saw Facebook happen. I saw Facebook start existing. I was in university networks back then, and people were whispering, oh, there's this new Facebook at Harvard. They just unlocked it. So now we can go on it. I remember the birth of Facebook, but man, Facebook wasn't even new to me. I've been on social media. I've been trying to create social media from the start. We had bulletin board systems. Even before the internet, we were communicating on phone lines, registering our computers. Yes, and after the BBSs, there was MIRC, ICQ. Absolutely, I was there through it all. And I am thankful for social media. Plapides says, Jeff, my PhD thesis was related to social media psychology. It is absolutely devastating to the mind. I agree social media has positives, but the balance is not in the favor of normal people. I don't know about that. I think the balance is that we can talk today freely and be transparent about things that we couldn't be transparent about 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Plapides says, I was also on BBS, IRC, PHP forum, etc. It was better back then. Oh yeah, I've had my waves of being attached to the past. I remember I was on MIRC and I was like, bro, this sucks. Why don't we go back to BBS? But then eventually I gave up. I gave up this because I was a young man so attached to the past, so attached to traditions. And I was like, no, MIRC is too different. The BBSs, there was something special about it. There was a community feeling about it. But eventually I accepted MIRC and I accepted Facebook and I accepted YouTube and Twitter. And at this point, I don't resist anymore because I acknowledge that X, for example, is the summum of this social media concept, in my view. It has reached the summum, and I've accepted that staying attached to the past isn't worth it in those cases. Just Saying says, on the money for pan usage, JF, never use Teflon for anything but soft eggs. Absolutely, I agree. I personally don't use Teflon at all, I think, although maybe my blue pan, my blue nonstick might be Teflon. I don't know. But in any case, nonstick should be extremely restrictive use. Eggs, silicone spatulas, and never clean with a steel wool. GM for the People says, Baron Balrog's BBS had an awesome ASCII strategy game on it, or at least it seemed so back then. Oh yeah, there were some awesome games on BBS, online MMORPGs. I don't remember exactly the name. Hack and Slash, was it something like this? Where you were just fighting, but like, press 3 to attack. Oh, you have attacked. Now press 4 to attack again, or press 5 to cast a spell. And you're like, line by line, getting your fights in. Some more social media activity.
Guys, look at my shirt. It says fuck Trump. Anyway, outfit check. This is what I'm wearing out in public today. Some sweats, some Crocs, and my fuck Trump shirt. Hope y'all have a good day. Click the link below to get your fuck Trump shirt today.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's so easy to be part of leftists. The club is easy to join. Not much restriction at entry.
I renewed my passport yesterday because I'm getting the fuck out of America. Yep, I'm getting a one-way plane ticket to go somewhere. Europe, mostly. Most likely.
Europe. Oh God, we are losing so many people at this, with this ICE enforcement.
Everything's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Everything's okay.
Wow, wow, wow. Absolutely deranged people reacting. People have been commenting on the performance between Anna Kasparian and Just Pearly Things. It's bizarre. I don't know what exactly is happening in that debate. Just Pearly Things appeared to be conceding the idea that she lost the debate on X. She was saying, maybe I lost the debate, but... And there's these bizarre back and forth that are happening, like this one.
Are you just making things up?
No.
Pearl, what are you doing? Like, seriously.
So I don't know. Pearl isn't answering, isn't saying anything.
Next question. How many women die every year during childbirth?
Not many.
This country has the highest maternal mortality rate of any developed country, so a lot of women do die as a result of pregnancy and childbirth, yes.
So there's 30 deaths per 100,000 live births in the U.S. Dying of live birth is not a common occurrence at all. You need 100,000 successful births before there's 30 women that will have died during that birth. If you take just a couple of professions like roofers, electricians, plumbers, you gather them together, you'll find that every year there are more deaths by professional reasons for men than there is by childbirth for women. 30 chance of dying out of 100,000, and that includes people who have massive health issues. That includes people who come into the live birth with bad odds for themselves, who are poor, who are poorly nourished. If you are healthy and you make your baby in times of your life where you are healthy, the chances that you die from the pregnancy are extremely low. Now, that's what Just Pearly Things should have answered, but somehow she kind of fixes and she doesn't say anything.
Saying anything. What?
So I don't know what was the deal with this. Pearl seems weird. Her face seems weird. I don't know if she was prepared, but there's these moments where she's not saying anything. Sometimes I do this in debate, but it has to be done with a special art, because you don't want to look like you're not answering something that was put on your face by the opponent. But sometimes I do like to leave a silence in a debate to create awkwardness, especially when the other person's statement has been underwhelming. So that's where you want to use the silence. When what they said is so low and so stupid that you don't really need an argument. But here you needed an argument. You needed to know just how little the phenomenon of childbirth death is. And it seems that Pearl didn't have much of an answer other than it's very low. We also have the rise of Ashley St. Clair. Absolutely incredible. people were reminding, Kang Min Lee was reminding us that, yeah, Ashley St. Clair did write a book about elephants are not birds. She wrote this book and now she's saying about the trans issue because someone came to her and said, you've previously engaged in blatant transphobia. And she answers, I feel immense guilt for my role and even more guilt that things I have said in the past may have caused my son's sister more pain. So she's talking about the baby of Elon Musk who became a trans. Don't remember the name, but this long hair boy who became a girl or who's trying to become a girl. I don't know really how to make amends for many of these things, but I have been trying incredibly hard privately to learn, plus advocate for those within the trans community that I've hurt. I also haven't said much on this because I have gone back and forth over whether my voice would be helpful on the issue, since it will be framed as disingenuous or just turning because I'm scorned. Even this reply will become right-wing hysteria, but yeah, I am sorry. Let me know how I can help. This is a typical reversal of a female in separation. She's now headed toward trans ideology. Yes, she is pissed against Musk. She's not satisfied by what he's been giving her. And she's always been trying to cause public trouble to Musk to be a higher and higher cost to him. Now, when you behave that way, don't be surprised if you're cut off from your check. She's been trying to even get X in trouble in debt because she's been pushing these rumors around X being sexually abusive with children or whatever. So she's in full Elon destruction mode. And that may include at some point the transing of her own children to sterilize him to spite Elon Musk. And now Elon Musk is filing in family court, says he wants full custody of the child because she's been suggesting on social media that she's now a trans advocate. So that means she has reverted her views from her book. That may mean, or at least that's the implication that Elon interprets, that she is headed toward treating the son as a girl. You know, the chances of getting a family court judgment for you when you are the male father and you want to stop the transing of your child, this has been demonstrated again and again. It's not a very successful path in family court. Family court is there to enforce the desires of females over males. And so generally they will side with the anti-natalist pro-trans intervention. That being said, I think it's a good thing that Elon is kind of going after family courts. Because no matter what happens, perhaps he will win and perhaps change family courts going forward and liberate a little bit of father's rights for us. Or he will lose and then he will expose to everyone, look, the richest man in the world cannot get a fair judgment in family court, so forget about it. End of the line, Joel says, JF, is Brett Weinstein the only reason why Heather Hying is not looks grifting on Twitch yet? No, I think Heather doesn't have the personality to be a booby streamer. She is a woman of a generation that doesn't do OnlyFans. She is a woman of a generation where they want to access the work market and achieve some form of careerism. Captil says, Nick F. was one of the only people who had a good take on both Venezuela and René Good. Well, I disagree with the take on Venezuela. If you mean the support of this idea that Maduro must be removed, I disagree with this take. That being said, yes, I agree. I agree with his takes in general on Rene Good and so many other things. Yeah, people were asking me on Twitter, JF, please comment about the revolutionary phenotype in light of the current developments of AI and genetics. Well, my comment is that I wrote this book in 2018 and holy shit, is it current. It is absolutely current. I still stand by what I've said in the book. We are headed toward big dangers. And if anything, I would say reality just went even faster than I expected. As an early alarmist of questions related to human genetic modifications, I didn't know that AI would evolve that quick. And I warned about AI. That was the way it was going to go. But I thought it was going to go that way maybe in 50 years. Maybe the developments that we've seen within 5 years are what I expected maybe in 50 years. AI definitely at this point is already prepared to do genetic decisions for humans. And that is the beginning of our end. Hook says, anyone ask where Mama JF's body is? Well, we don't know where Mama JF is. She has disappeared. And so, no, we don't know what happened to her. The police doesn't know. No one knows. I know that I haven't killed her, if that's what you want to imply. End of the line, Joel says, AI was founded on piracy and survives on being granted access to your creations. It is a trap for creatives to use it without IP caution. That is true. That is true. AI is kind of the... It's the next move of the Pirate Bay, if you will. And to understand this, you need to understand the internet with some degree of subtlety and complexity. But those who understand, this is what happened. Basically, culture, human culture from the 80s to today has been putting itself on the media. Think about the pop rock stars. Think about the pop stars, the music, the books. Everything went digital slowly because it started on analog tapes. And then people, well, funded the analog tape industry by buying tapes of their favorite musicians. Eventually, it digitalized itself into CD form, eventually DVD, Blu-ray, and then eventually streaming and just per digital in the cloud type of cultural presence. And as this process was happening, there was a side push. This process was funding the industry. And then there was a side push by the pirates that were making culture so much more accessible. Because I, from a working class family, you know, I wouldn't have had access to as much material culture that, like, I couldn't have gone see all of the videos that I've seen in my life to the cinema. I wouldn't have had the money. But piracy made the culture extremely accessible. And therefore, there was another force onto culture, one funding it while trying to keep it on a legitimate copyright media, the other just making it free and making it flow and creating this crazy aspect where it was cheapened. Culture was cheapened to meaninglessness. And then AI came, and now we are... AI is kind of an inversion in this crossing of the fates. AI says, I'm going to make culture by stealing ideas from the entirety of humanity in a way that no artist before could have possibly done. I'm going to record the whole of cultural history, the whole of humanity's products, and I'm going to generate it using some algorithm of continuation and extrapolation. Now, that is interesting to me. I know a lot of people I am alarmed if it starts playing with our genes. But I am not alarmed that, oh, well, you know, maybe future cultural products could be produced by more systematic stuff like this. USPP4 says, Jeff, I would have sent more super chats tonight, but you put me off with this mocking response. What kind of mocking response have I? They say Venezuela is Marxist, but how is it more Marxist than the EU or US? I don't know that I've given any mocking response to any question tonight. I'm not sure which you're referring to. Now, Venezuela, I'm against the war. That's it. If you're unhappy about this, you're unhappy about this. That's your choice. Anyway, so that's what I had to say for tonight. I'm happy to be back on the internet. So now we can get regular shows without hangups. Tomorrow I'll have a courier du coeur, so I'll not be here at 7 p.m. Eastern time. But I've missed you guys so much. I think I might do a show at 9 p.m. Eastern time just to come and see you guys, chill a little bit, see what's up in the news. So I'll see you all perhaps tomorrow if I have inspiration. But thanks for being here, and I'm so happy that we could get finally a show without technical issues. My internet is back. My audio system is back. We are now set up. Go away says, one day I'm going to build a JF AI that supports the war in Venezuela. Well, go ahead and do it. Chris Asler says, are you familiar with the political figure known as Curtis Yarvin? Yeah, Curtis Yarvin is a fraud. It's just... It's the false solution of authoritarianism. And it's like, well, if we had a good king, maybe things would work better. And the problem of authority is who chooses the authority. And I'm afraid he knows who, and he's one of them.